Welcome back to Source Code, Decipher's weekly news wrap podcast with input from our sources. This week, researchers observed threat actors targeting a recently disclosed flaw in Apache ActiveMQ in order to attempt to deploy ransomware against targeted organizations. Matthew Kiley, principal security researcher at Huntress, talks a little bit more about the vulnerability.
So the principal issue here is with a service called ActiveMQ. So this is an open source software service that comes from the Apache Software Foundation. And it's a message broker service. So it's essentially an open source implementation of message brokering, software that allows you to ferry messages back and forth between your applications to signal one application to do something when another application has done a corresponding action. So right off the bat, I want to point out that patches are now available for this CVE. By number, the CVE is CVE-2023-46604. The source of truth always with these CVEs, you really want to go to the NVD, the National Vulnerability Database. So that's nvd.nist.gov. All of the up-to-date information will be listed there. But here's a little bit about what's going on with this particular exploitation. I find it very, very interesting. It's a fascinating one. The vulnerable component here is in the ActiveMQ's open wire protocol implementation. This service usually runs on the ActiveMQ server. It will be running on port 61616 by default. Doesn't necessarily have to be there, but it will be there by default. And very briefly, this is a deserialization attack. And so what that means is that an attacker will coerce the server to deserialize and execute code that the attacker can supply. And now, interestingly, this attack happens in two phases. So the attacker provides the input to force this deserialization to occur. And then the second part of this attack is that the server then, by request of the attacker, calls out to a different location, downloads a file, and then runs the code that's specified in that file. So there's a very interesting kind of two-part exploitation chain here. I can confirm that in a lab setting, kind of on the small scale, the exploitation here is trivial and it's unauthenticated. There are public proofs of concept for this. They're out there. They're circulating. There's even an incoming Metasploit module. So that makes exploitation very, very straightforward for this one. The bar to entry here is extremely low. However, I think a few things work in our favor here. Just from a cursory Shodan search out on the open internet, I looked for how many instances of this server are running out on the open internet, and I only found 6,500 endpoints that are identified as running this service. So that, and that also does not mean that each one of those are vulnerable. That just means of all of the hosts that Shodan knows about, how many run this service? 6,500. So it's not super common to be out on the internet, but it certainly does happen. And I can also confirm that the Huntress team has identified active exploitation of this vulnerability as early as October 10th in our partner networks. I can't release information about the scale of the exploitation that we have identified, but I can confirm that it has happened.
Impacted companies should apply patches immediately. In other news this week, the SEC charged the CISO of SolarWinds, Tim Brown, on grounds of fraud and internal control failures relating to known security risks and flaws. The complaint alleged that from 2018 to 2020, when it announced that it was a target of a two-year-long cyber attack, SolarWinds and Brown, quote-unquote, defrauded investors by overstating SolarWinds cybersecurity practices and understating or failing to disclose known risks. The SEC's complaint reads, quote-unquote, "It's in its filings with the SEC during this period, SolarWinds allegedly misled investors by disclosing only generic and hypothetical risks at a time when the company and Brown knew of specific deficiencies in SolarWinds cybersecurity practices, as well as the increasingly elevated risks the company faced at this time." This move comes at a really interesting time because, first of all, it comes right as the SEC's new cyber rule is rolling out, where publicly traded companies will be required to report cyber incidents within 4 business days of determining that the incident is material. The hope for that rule is to require companies to be more transparent about their practices for managing risk. But the other thing is that we're seeing more legal responsibility and liability being put on the shoulders of CISOs when it comes to companies' overall security posture. In that SEC rule, one big piece of it is that companies will be required to describe the board of directors' oversight of risks from security threats and management's role and expertise in managing material risks from security threats. So these types of responsibilities are going higher up the chain. This also comes on the heels of former Uber chief security officer Joseph Sullivan being convicted and sentenced for his role in covering up details of the 2016 data breach from federal authorities. These types of CISO accountability trends are something that the cybersecurity industry and leaders in this space are watching very carefully right now, and they will continue to watch this complaint as it progresses. Finally, the Biden administration this week released a new executive order that mandates the development of standards promoting the safety and security of artificial intelligence systems. As part of this, the executive order mandates that federal agencies take a closer look at how AI could potentially impact areas like vulnerability discovery or ways that it could make critical infrastructure systems more vulnerable to attacks. The White House this week set the stage for developing and deploying, quote-unquote, responsible AI, directing NIST to create standards, tools, and red team testing guidelines for AI systems before public release. The hope here is to root out issues that might include harmful or discriminatory outputs from an AI system, or unforeseen or undesirable system behaviors, limitations, or potential risks associated with the misuse of the system. As part of the executive order, the Department of Homeland Security must create an advisory committee that looks at how AI standards developed by NIST could be applied to the critical infrastructure sectors. And as part of this, the committee will look at the potential risks that crop up from the use of AI in critical infrastructure sectors, like ways that AI could make critical infrastructure systems more vulnerable to critical failures or cyber attacks. The executive order also outlines a vision to develop AI tools that would fix and find flaws in critical software. This builds on the White House's AI Cyber Challenge, a 2-year competition announced by the Biden administration in August that challenges competitors in the U.S. to identify and fix flaws using AI. Thanks for tuning in to this week's Source Code podcast. Have a great weekend. While you were hacking-